with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery Deli and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The sentencing phase for alleged 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui means he will never come out of prison. The only jury question is, will he be put to death? CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Prosecutors contend the government would have unraveled the 9/11 plot in 25 days if Moussaoui had told FBI agents what he knew. His information was shocking and specific, prosecutor Robert Spencer told attentive jurors. He promised to present evidence that that information would have led the FBI to 11 of the 19 hijackers. As for the other side, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cullen.
The defense has to convince these jurors that nothing this guy would have said, or this Muslim loner, which is what they called him in court, his own attorneys, would have made a difference.
Defense lawyer Edward McMahon portrayed Moussaoui as a blowhard who was, in his words, totally useless to Al-Qaeda. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
The young Muslim driver said he was trying to run over unsuspecting college students at the University of North Carolina to avenge mistreated Muslims elsewhere.
Mohammad Reza Tariazar told the judge he's looking forward to his trial so that he can spread the will of Allah. Leaving the courthouse, the 22-year-old Iranian native responded yes when reporters asked him if he was trying to kill. He's accused of driving his SUV into a group of people at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Nine people received minor injuries. Police say Tariazar told them he did it to avenge the deaths of Muslims.
CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula. The only abortions soon to be allowed in the state of South Dakota are those necessary to save the life of the mother. Cecile Richards is president of Planned Parenthood, doesn't like it.
We are confident that this law will not stand. It is unconstitutional. That may mean that it eventually goes to the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, it has really sounded an alarm across the country.
The bill was constructed and passed specifically to force the issue to the U.S. Supreme Court. Leslie Unruh founded the Alpha Center, which counsels women who've had abortions.
We believe it's going to be finally, after 30-plus years of Roe v. Wade, it will be equal rights for unborn women.
She says now they simply wait for an abortion rights challenge to be filed. The Army Corps of Engineers has been working day and night to try to rebuild New Orleans' failed levees. Now there are complaints they aren't building them strong enough.
We are using the right kind of materials. There's no question about that. We are using the right material, and we're putting it down in the right way.
Army Engineers Lieutenant General Carl Strock says, on the other hand, some hurricanes can't be stopped.
You will see overtopping of the levees and some water in the city. We're working with the city to help them to understand where we see what areas of the city we see as most vulnerable.
On Wall Street, the Dow dropped 63 points to close at more than 10,958. The Nasdaq lost about 16.5 points today. Oil prices, $62.41 a barrel, down $1.26. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I know smoking is dangerous, and I've decided to quit.
Last night, Allison went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Quitting won't be easy. Not for me, but I feel good that I've taken that first step.
If you're a smoker who's decided to quit, QuitAssist is an online resource that provides links to the information, advice, and support you're looking for. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Another study, thousands of young people, connects some depression treatments with thoughts of suicide. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano.
The FDA's Dr. Thomas Loughran says additional studies are now underway into whether suicidal thoughts among children actually lead to suicide and whether there's a biological reason for the thoughts in the first place.
We're not telling clinicians and we're not telling patients that these drugs can't be used in children. They can be.
but they have to be used carefully. And patients, if they're going to get these drugs, need to be followed closely.
And when adverse responses are detected, he says, they may be reversed with appropriate modified treatment. Lou Milley on the CBS News.
The ratings for the Oscars were down again. The movies nominated for the big awards were not the popular big blockbusters, and since few people actually watched them, they had little interest vested in the outcomes, according to the analysts. Oscar was knocking on the door to the ratings basement, the second worst showing for the Academy Awards in nearly 20 years. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip, driver of the number 55 Napa race car. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm quite a hat collector. That's why Napa is helping me collect as many hats as I can, starting with yours. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store and swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. The same hat me and my race team wear at the track. Bring in your old hat today and drive home looking like a winner. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Every day, people save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline. More ways to save.
Yes, and will you still be laughing at 6 o'clock? Good afternoon and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show on this soggy Monday afternoon. We're live on KRXA 540, serving Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're live on KGOE 1480, serving Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. And if it's all working properly, today only, we are live on 1240 Talk City, also known as KSAC in Sacramento. And I'm sitting in for my colleague, Christine Kraft, who's under the weather today, and there's plenty of weather to be under. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to parachute into the suburbs of Houston, Texas, and check on the electoral prospects of the Hammer. Tom DeLay facing primary challenges on three fronts tomorrow. He may be able to divide and conquer, but we'll get a first-person account from a reporter of the Houston Chronicle. Samantha Levine will be joining us between 3:30 and 4. 4 to 5 o'clock today, we'll be talking with Robert Perry. He's an investigative journalist. He helped break the Iran-Contra story back in the 80s, and he's been on the case ever since. Lots to talk about with Robert Perry. And our free speech zone, as usual, from 5 to 6 o'clock. Room for lots of your calls. And by the way, if you're hearing me for the first time on the Peter B. Collins Show, we pause for calls at any moment. All you have to do is dial us up, and I'm going to give you the numbers in just a minute. But in the free speech zone, it's wide open. We do not screen calls for topics, for viewpoints. We do ask you to be coherent and generally respectful, but that's about all the limits we place on your free speech. We believe in the First Amendment while it's still in full effect, and you're welcome to join us again anytime during the program, but especially between 5 and 6 today. We will have a brief call during 5 and 6, between 5 and 6, from a commissioner of California's Public Utilities Commission, Jeff Brown. He dissented in a vote on Friday that we want to talk about, because if you have a cell phone, you won't be happy about what the PUC wants to do to you. They took a vote that heavily favors the cell phone industry at the expense of consumers, and we'll get the details from Commissioner Jeff Brown sometime around 5:30 this afternoon. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I invite you to call. We have a toll-free line that works from Eureka, Sacramento, or anywhere else within the sound of my voice, and that number is 1-888-579-2540. I'm going to repeat it a couple of times for our new listeners in the Sacramento area. That's 888-579-2540. One more time, 888-579-2540. And if you're listening on KRXA, you can save me a nickel. Call us on the local line at 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. Well, every week we kick off the show here first thing on Monday with a representative from Media Matters for America. They have a powerful website that compares what we're told in the media with the actual truth.
And they name names, and they nail it right down. Jameson Foser, JMO, is with us today. Hello, JMO.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
How's the media this week?
Oh, questionable as always.
Well, let's dive in on the top story of last week, which surprised a lot of people. It was the dispute over Dubai Ports World Designs on purchasing from a British company management of a number of U.S. ports along the eastern seaboard and on over into the Gulf Coast. And this did attract a great deal of attention. Was it indeed the most reported story last week before the president left the country?
Well, it probably was the most reported. Unfortunately, it wasn't reported particularly well. One of the reasons why this sale has been so controversial is that the Bush administration, for some reason, decided not to conduct the 45-day review of this sale that they should have conducted. And there's actually been a lot of indications, including some from Republican members of Congress, that the review they did conduct was very cursory and didn't delve into any security issues at all.
Well, where is your trust, JMO? This is an administration that has repeatedly investigated itself and found no problems. So what's your beef?
Well, that's true, and unfortunately this Congress has also repeatedly investigated them and found no problems. I think there might be a bit of a coincidence there if you look at what party controls Congress and what party controls the administration. But this is a relatively rare case in which we're seeing members of both parties say that this administration has just dropped the ball here and didn't do the due diligence in looking into this sale that it should have done. So that makes it all the more extraordinary that we've seen a large number of pundits and journalists basically assert that there's no security concern at all, that this is just Democrats demagoguing the issue, which is absurd when, again, you consider that Republicans are criticizing it as well. But what's most amazing about this is these pundits and journalists just flatly saying there's no problem here. They have no way of knowing that. This whole issue is that the investigation that is required hasn't been conducted yet. So I don't know how Bill Kristol or Tom Friedman can just assert that there's no security issue.
Mm-hmm. And, JMO, this whole episode has been riddled with surprises to the president and to his underlings. The president wasn't informed of this or heard about it through the news media. Scott McClellan initially tried to soft pedal that issue. And then the president came out with two barrels blazing. Sorry, Dick Cheney. But he first of all said that he firmly supported this, even though he'd only known about it over the weekend. And then he said that he would veto any effort to reject this deal on behalf of the Congress. So he really took a very staunch position that seemed inconsistent with the idea that he just found out about it a few days ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. And in fact, this would be his first veto of his entire presidency. So that tells you how committed he is to transferring control of these ports to the United Arab Emirates. But the fact that he's making these veto threats and seems that certain, having just known about it for about a week, is amazing. It's even more amazing when you consider that Don Rumsfeld, who sits on the committee that was supposed to review this, also didn't know about the transfer until we all did or a couple days before. So the people at the highest levels of the Bush administration who should have been making this decision weren't even aware of it until after the fact.
Yeah. And there were some other anomalies here as well. There was inconsistency on the part of the media in properly making the connection that the company DPW, Dubai Ports World, is actually owned by the government of Dubai, which is substantially different from P&O, which is a publicly traded but not a government-owned entity based in England.
Right. We've seen over and over again news organizations just refer to Dubai Ports World as foreign-owned or foreign-based or a Dubai company without actually indicating the larger truth, which is that it's owned by the government of Dubai. And that's not an insignificant distinction. As a matter of law, there's an important difference there. If a company is owned by a foreign government, that kicks in this additional mandatory 45-day review. And the other important distinction there is that President Bush and some of his allies in this fight have tried to suggest that critics of this deal are guilty of some sort of anti-Arab bias because they're treating this company differently than from the way they treat the British company. Again, that doesn't work because there's a difference between these companies other than the fact that one's British and one's from Dubai, and that difference is that one of them is owned by a foreign government and the other is not.
One of the other things, and I have not been able to nail this down myself, JMO, is that I've heard a variety of reports about the actual number of ports involved in this transaction. And in particular, at the Center for American Progress, the Progress Report, they have included two critical ports, Beaumont and Corpus Christi, Texas, which are military ports. And that, of course, is far different than the kind of cargo that's coming through our general ports, you know, Newark and, well, on down the coastline.
Right. There's just sort of every day there's been some sort of new piece of information that's come out that suggests that, one, you know, this 45-day review is absolutely essential that it be conducted. Peter King, a Republican congressman from New York, said last week that he had talked to a couple government officials who were involved in the vetting process, and he asked them point blank, did you guys look into whether or not this company had any ties to Al-Qaeda? And he was told, no, we didn't. In fact, we didn't really do any review at all. So, you know, that should make clear to anybody that a real review here is necessary. But the other thing that it should make clear is that when you see Bill Kristol or some other pundit or journalist on your television saying there's no security concern here at all, they have no idea what they're talking about.
That's a very good point. Let's listen to a clip here that I think includes Bill Kristol. Let's play it. Go ahead, Matt.
On the other hand, the 45 days is to give cover to the idiots in Congress who jumped on this without knowing anything about it. It's not to give cover to the Bush administration. They're not going to change their mind. They're going to go ahead with the deal. And I do think the Democrats could be made to pay a price for their demagoguery. They need to go on the offensive and make the Democrats pay a price for their total demagoguery on this.
Well, this is an interesting... Well, what do you think about the New Orleans port being under the control of the UAE?
The thing is, I think whether the profits go to London or whether they go to Dubai, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference.
The management doesn't bother you.
Who operates it? Who's actually doing the work matters. But the thing is, it's kind of like the Panama Canal you remember back in 78, where handing over the Panama Canal to the communists. It was a great issue to demagogue, great issue, very easy and very hard to defend the policy, even though it turned out to be the right thing to do. I think it's probably the right thing here.
Interesting comments there. First of all, the Panama Canal was not turned over to communists, and that was never an issue at the time. Secondly, we heard Bill Kristol equate Democrats with demagogues, refer to the idiots in Congress who oppose this. And, JMO, if I'm not mistaken, Peter King and others are members of the majority party, the Republicans.
Yeah, this is one issue, at least, in which a lot of congressional Republicans have distanced themselves from the administration, have been very critical. Peter King said last week that it would be shameful to allow this deal to go through. Just for the record, that second clip you played was, for your viewers' information, was Charlie Cook on the Chris Matthews Show. So
both, I'm sorry. Okay.
Both Cook and Bill Kristol referred to Democrats as demagogues on this issue, which is extraordinary. There's actually a pretty broad consensus that this deal's a mistake. 70% of Americans in one poll. You listen to congressional Republicans, a lot of them think it's a bad idea. It'll be interesting to see whether they actually stay strong on that and conduct some meaningful oversight. That's something that we've seen time and time again over the last 5 years is occasionally Republicans in Congress about the need for some oversight and then not follow through on it.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
JMO Fosler with us. We're going to take a quick break and return when Bill O'Reilly will be on the screen here. Did you know he has his own private police force? Your calls are welcome to 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing. Get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. We'll be right back.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we're going to get a snapshot of Tom DeLay's primary election tomorrow in the Houston suburbs. We continue now with Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America. If you haven't, you must visit their website, mediamatters.org, loaded with information on where the media got it wrong and where the truth actually lies. Now, we've got a couple of juicy clips here from Bill O'Reilly on the Fox News Channel and on his radio show. You want to set up this first one for us, J-Mo?
Sure. This first one is just the latest in an ongoing dispute between Bill O'Reilly and MSNBC's Keith Olbermann. They don't seem to like each other very much, and they've taken to taking some shots at each other on their shows. And so this first one is a clip. I think we're going to start with Bill O'Reilly on his radio show.
All right, let's listen. Go ahead, Matt.
Bill O'Reilly is now threatening callers to his radio show, at least one of whom mentioned my name.
That's
our third
story
in the countdown. Oh, here we go. First, it was the warnings to NBC Chairman Robert Wright, then the phone calls to NBC President Jeff Zucker, then the petition to get me fired and Phil Donahue brought back, then the erroneous ratings information he gave out. Even in that context, though, this is pretty special. Ted Baxter telling uncooperative listeners that he'll turn their phone numbers over to Fox Security and that Fox Security will in turn contact the local authorities. Bill thinks he has his own police. A caller got through to O'Reilly's radio show yesterday. He insists he used no foul language, that all he did was mention my name, compliment my show, and ask, why are you always smearing him, Bill? And the host, using the dump button all talk radio shows have and the 7-second delay, cut him off. We're not certain what actually got on the air, but this was what was posted on O'Reilly's website as the air check for that part of the show.
Okay, that's as far as our clip goes there. But I guess Keith Olbermann set it up pretty well there. And it is interesting that they are teasing each other and tweaking each other. But, of course, O'Reilly's a brittle kind of guy who has a hard time taking that kind of ribbing, wouldn't you say, J-Mo?
Well, he is, and that's what this clip was about. And so that was Olbermann describing this phone call. And in this phone call, you know, what O'Reilly did was he cut this guy off as soon as the guy used Keith Olbermann's name, and then he went on this rant saying, we have your phone numbers, we have your phone number, we're going to turn it over to Fox Security, you'll be getting a little visit. And then later comes back to it again, basically saying that if anybody says anything untoward or obscene on their air, Fox Security will contact your local authorities. Now remember, all this guy did was use Keith Olbermann's name.
Yeah. Now, does Fox Security get all their people decked out in Factor camo wear, or do we know if there really is a Fox Security other than rent-a-cops at the door?
Well, we don't know for sure, but what we do know is that some people have posted on websites stories about contact they've received from people claiming to be Fox Security about phone calls to the O'Reilly show, and some of the stories are pretty shocking if they're true, and we don't have any way of knowing if they are, but Fox hasn't yet denied it. But basically they involve you know, somebody who called the O'Reilly show and mentioned Keith Olbermann a few hours later getting a phone call from somebody identifying themselves as Fox Security and basically threatening them.
Mm-hmm. Now we have another clip, and this is O'Reilly as well. He had as a guest Barry Lynn, who is the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, a friend of mine who also hosts a program that we air on KRXA every evening at 6 called Culture Shocks. And Barry is a good sport. He goes into the lion's den on a regular basis, and O'Reilly paid him a compliment, kind of. Let's listen.
Unresolved problems segment tonight. More controversy about religion and government. After being confirmed as the newest Supreme Court Justice, Samuel Alito wrote a bunch of thank you notes to supporters. And one of them went to Dr. James Dobson, the focus on the family leader. In the body of that letter, Alito wrote, quote, the prayers of so many people from around the country were a palpable and powerful force. Apparently that is causing some concern. Joining us from Washington, Reverend Barry Lynn, the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Now, Reverend, I read the letter. It's been as benign as you could. And you don't like it? Why don't you like it?
Okay, deciphering this letter is not as difficult, say, as breaking the Da Vinci Code. I think it's very clear that Justice Alito here is saying to James Dobson, and by the way, the letter's to Dobson and his entire staff,
right.
Thank you for all the work on my behalf, which included sending out 3 million emails saying, vote for this guy, Alito, for the Supreme
Help and
Court.
Support,
a
right.
national plan, right. radio campaign, print campaign, and a lot of other things that helped him get the job. Now he's saying, thanks a lot for all of that specific help to get me the job,
right.
And trust me, meaning I'm going to be on your side. And that's exactly what James Dobson understood it to mean when he said, they
all
get
right, let
it,
me, let me, let
they
me read.
Understand. What else could it mean, Bill?
Well, Reverend, look, with all due respect, and you know I love you as a guest, you're one of the best. You're a paranoid crazy on this. You're paranoid and you're crazy.
Come on,
that's enough of that. I know Barry Lynn, he's neither crazy nor paranoid. J-Mo?
No, and when you listen to that, keep in mind that Bill O'Reilly constantly says that he doesn't attack people personally. Just last week, he was saying that on his television show. I don't get into personal attacks here. Oh, he does all the time. He's calling Barry Lynn paranoid and crazy when all Barry Lynn was doing there was describing pretty faithfully this letter that Alito sent to Dobson.
Yeah. J-Mo, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure. There's much more at MediaMatters.org, the website of Media Matters for America. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. That's J-Mo Fosier. Coming up next, we'll get a report on the situation tomorrow in the Texas primary where Tom DeLay has challengers in the Republican primary. Samantha Levine from the Houston Chronicle next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540.
R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender and about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. You can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We're Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. Tomorrow is Election Day in Texas, primary election day, and the hammer is facing some opposition.
Face in the shower door, a cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it was exactly where I laid it. You don't scare me, you don't scare me, I said. Whatever it was floating in the air above my bed, he knew I understand. He was the ghost of a Texas ladies' man.
Yes, stepping into the Texas section of the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives, it's a group called Concrete Blonde. Johnette Napolitano is the amazing lead vocalist there.
And the song is Ghost of a Texas Ladies' Man. Well, I don't know if Tom DeLay is considered a ladies' man, but he's spent 22 years representing the Houston suburbs in the House of Representatives, and for what appears to be one of the first times, he's facing some serious challenge in tomorrow's primary vote. Samantha Levine is a reporter for the Houston Chronicle, assigned in Washington to cover the Texas delegation. She's written for U.S. News and World Report, covering Homeland Security, also at Congressional Quarterly and other publications. Samantha, welcome to our program today.
Thanks for having me.
First up, is Tom DeLay in any serious trouble? It appears to me that with three Republican challengers, they're going to split the vote, and he may not get the 51%, but he's probably going to walk away the winner tomorrow. Is that a fair assumption?
You know, I think in this case, that's probably fair. I've been down in Houston for the past several days. I'll be here through the primary. And pretty much, you are seeing that he probably will pull through. But I think in this case, even though he does have three people splitting the rest of the vote, as you said, you really never can tell. There's been a high turnout in the early voting here in Texas, which may or may not be a good thing for him, remains to be seen. I think that the smart money is on him pulling out with more than 50% of the vote and avoiding a runoff. I think the question is really how much over 50% he can take in.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've reviewed some of your reporting over the last couple of days, and you depict a campaign on the DeLay side that is very well-funded and high-tech, collecting a lot of data on individual voters and crunching it into a computer and a database. But there's no reference to any polling. What is the recent polling on this race?
Well, the internal polling from the campaigns is generally not shared. That's their proprietary information. The Houston Chronicle did some polling about 6 weeks ago that found that his Democratic opponent, should he prevail in the primary, then in the general election in November, former Democratic Representative Nick Lampson, who actually lost his seat in the Houston suburbs as a result of the redistricting plan that Mr. DeLay helped to write a few years ago, could come out very strong. Both are very well funded. Mr. Lampson's campaign, as one might imagine, is attracting Democratic support in the district as well as across the country from Democrats who oppose Mr. DeLay. So facing November could be a tougher go for DeLay than really he's faced just about ever in the 22 years he's been in the House.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because, as you described it, one of the reasons that Nick Lampson has a fighting chance in November is the very redistricting that Tom DeLay was the architect of that you referred to a moment ago. It's at the center of all of his troubles right now. The Ronnie Earle prosecutor who's brought the charges against him of money laundering, that's related to the redistricting effort in Texas because, of course, first they had to win back a majority in the House in order to be able to push through the legislation. And the irony here is that in redrawing the maps, Tom DeLay may have been a little too generous to neighboring Republican districts. Did he, in fact, hurt himself by slimming down the Republican registration in his home district?
Well, before all of those things happened that you mentioned, no. I think he felt very confident that even though he was kind of taking one for the team, losing some of his Republican base in order to gain the other seats that the Texas delegation now has, of course, the largest Republican delegation in the House, I think he felt fine. I think he felt that he was, he was very much beloved by Republicans at home. He had a very strong base. I mean, he's barely faced any opposition in any primary he's ever had. In fact, he hasn't had primaries, only a handful of times in the 11 terms he served. So, you know, back when that was going on, I think he didn't think it was going to be a problem. Of course, now his situation is quite different. The landscape for him has changed fairly dramatically. You mentioned the money laundering indictments in Travis mm-hmm. County. There were ethics admonishments in the House in Washington, and then there's still a big question mark on the Abramoff investigation in Washington, whether or not that will ever get closer to him than it has by already getting to some of his former aides. So there's really a lot of uncertainty right now if he should prevail in the primary between now and November. Many, many things could happen
Indeed.
That could hurt him.
Yeah, we understand that Abramoff's sentencing has been set now for March 29th, and his attorney, Abby Lowell, is promising that Abramoff will name names. And since Abramoff has pled guilty to bribery, the open questions are, okay, who were the people he consorted with? Who were the people who accepted his bribes? And I have no direct evidence linking Tom DeLay to the bribes that Abramoff has pled guilty to, but we know that they were very close, very tight, worked on the K Street project together, and that DeLay did benefit from the largesse of the clients of Jack Abramoff and donations directly from Mr. Abramoff personally.
You know, at this point, as you know, DeLay is not a suspect in the case. He's not been obviously charged with anything. It's a real cliffhanger in D.C. right now. Who is going to be coming out of this thing? You know, when the Abramoff investigation first began and elements of it started to come out, you know, people were talking about multiple members of Congress, potentially dozens of staffers on the Hill. It could get as wide as any scandal investigation could get. It's really unclear what is going to be coming out about Mr. DeLay. Recently, Mr. DeLay distanced himself from Mr. Abramoff, talking about how they actually weren't that close. This is in a letter to his constituents that he mailed out a few weeks ago. I think that the DeLay staffers who have already been swept into the investigation, one of them, Michael Scanlon, has already been convicted. Who knows what kind of information they're going to be giving up? It's really, it's a nail biter for him. It's unclear what's going to happen.
Does he bite his nails?
I don't think so. He's quite that well-groomed. In a good way.
I would just think that a guy who came out of the pest control business wouldn't want to bite his nails because you don't know what kind of pesticides might be lingering there.
You have to be careful about those chemicals.
We're talking with Samantha Levine, Houston Chronicle reporter who covers the Texas congressional delegation tomorrow, primary election day in Texas. Now, could you profile for us briefly these three Republican challengers? First up, Tom Campbell. I understand he has never run for political office before, but of the three Republican challengers to DeLay, seems to be in first place.
He is the strongest among the three opponents challenging DeLay. He is an attorney. He had worked in the he was counsel to the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration under the first President Bush, so he definitely has some Republican connections there. He has decided, he told me, to take on this challenge because he voted for Mr. DeLay in the last go-around, but when the indictments came down in Travis County, which is where Austin is located here in Texas, he said, you know, I don't think I can vote for somebody who's been indicted. And he decided to throw his hat into the ring. The other opponents are Pat Baig, who is a former school teacher and worked in the oil industry, and then another attorney, a man by the name of Mike Fetland, who actually has run against DeLay three times in the past. And of the candidates is the only one with experience running for office of this type.
Now, did anybody pull these three aside, two men and a woman, and say, you know, if two of you would bow out, one of you has a really good shot at beating DeLay and taking this seat away in the primary?
I don't get the sense that these three candidates are coordinated in any way. I was able to participate in a meeting with the three of them. They're really not huge fans. I don't know. They could possibly band together. But at this point, each of them is convinced that they are going to prevail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It takes that to run for office.
I, you know, in this kind of situation, you really can't get into something like this in this kind of race unless you really believe in yourself and believe in your ability to win. It, you know, for a lot of people, this is a David and Goliath type situation down in Houston. I mean, Tom DeLay is well-known, deeply connected, has a hand in almost everything that goes on, especially in Republican circles in this region. Mm-hmm. And to go up against him and to go against the leaders of the Republican Party in Houston who've come out for Mr. DeLay. It really it takes a lot of backbone, and I think you have to believe in yourself, or else you'd probably quit before you started.
Mm-hmm. Samantha Levine with us from the Houston Chronicle, and Samantha, this isn't a trick question, and if you don't know the answer, it's okay. But do you happen to know, in Sugar Land, Texas, what kind of voting equipment do they use?
I believe it is a touchscreen.
Do we know,
situation.
Do we know who the vendor is of the touchscreen voting machine?
I do not. Now, I believe it's touchscreen. I've not been down here for an election, but I think I remember seeing something like that. No, I don't know who the vendor is.
Okay. Well, that's something we're curious about because we follow the issues of electronic voting machines very carefully on this program, and we don't have confidence in them. That's the way I'd put the bottom line.
Well, you know, it'll be very interesting if there does, if they are indeed electronic voting machines, as I believe that they are, although, you know, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, and there is any kind of problem with them, you can be sure, you know, we'll be covering it. So you can check in on that. I know there's something that people are going to be watching all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Samantha, can you stay with us for another segment?
Sure.
Great. I would enjoy that. Samantha Levine from the Houston Chronicle. If you'd like to talk with her about Tom DeLay's primary election tomorrow, get on the line right now. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. If you're calling from Eureka or maybe Sacramento today, it's a toll-free number at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in just a minute right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Do you care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we're losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show, Labor Matters,
as we discuss these important issues.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
You already know that Joe Rombies serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombies' incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombies' La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Someone's gonna get killed out there, and I've talked to her and say, Texas.
Yeah, we're talking about Texas.
I said, Texas.
She said, what?
She says, well, they got big long roads out there.
We're in the middle of a live report from Houston, Texas, about tomorrow's Texas primary elections. And Tom DeLay, former majority leader who's now under an ethical cloud and confronting an indictment for money laundering in a different area. It's important to point out for those of us who think, Texas is a nitty-bitty state. It's a big one. And Tom DeLay's district encompasses Houston suburbs, including Sugar Land, Texas, which is where he is based. And the indictment came out of Austin, the state capital, where Ronnie Earl is the prosecutor. And that case will take its own course going forward. Samantha Levine with us from the Houston Chronicle. And just a quick note that we've solved our technical problems, and we're now on today in Sacramento. And I want to welcome listeners from 1240 Talk City who expected Christine Kraft, but she's under the weather today. I'm subbing, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. And you're invited to call our program toll-free at 888-579-2540. Samantha's going to be with us just a few more minutes, and then we have room for calls before the top of the hour. So if you have any comments about Tom DeLay and his prospects tomorrow, join me now at 888-579-2540. Again, 888-579-2540. Now, Samantha, it is an interesting situation. I read a fascinating article in The New Yorker by Jeffrey Toobin over the weekend, and he gave us a little history about the redistricting in Texas, which, of course, is so much involved, as we touched on in the first segment, with the challenges that Tom DeLay is facing today. And Toobin offered a little history because many progressives and Democrats joined this story at the point when legislators were leaving the state to try to deny a quorum to the Republicans who were in the middle of this unusual out-of-sequence or out-of-time-sequence redistricting plan. But it's fair to say that the Democrats drew a doozy of a map of their own for the 1990s, and that fueled the anger of Republicans who felt that it's now their due to take that back. This, of course, is also a case before the U.S. Supreme Court right now.
Yeah, it is. The court heard arguments on March 1st. It's going to decide whether or not it's going to take up the case within the next couple of months. Should the court decide to take up the map as it was drawn by Republicans back in about 3 years ago? It could throw the entire Texas electoral situation into what would probably feel like chaos. At least a half a dozen seats would be up for grabs once again. People would have to go back, primaries, elections. It could, depending on the timeline for this, people who are elected or reelected in the fall this year, because as we know, all the House is up for reelection this fall. Those people could find themselves running once again. There's a lot of kind of anxiety here in Texas over how this is going to be going. Although initial reports from the court did not lend themselves to the idea that the court would indeed decide to take up the whole map and perhaps throw it out. That may not be what happens.
Mm-hmm. And so given that history, the Democrats gerrymandered in the 90s and Republicans took control and kind of did their payback here in the aughts, the aught years, where are average Texans on this? Is this just a football game that they're not invited to and so they don't even put on their pads and helmets? Or do they see this as, something purely through partisan eyes?
Well, I can tell you that just first off, the first thing I thought of, among the Texas delegation, the redistricting map really created a lot of real bad blood. There's a lot of people say there's less coordination on more routine affairs among members of the delegation. Maybe there had been years ago. Whether or not that bleeds down to people at home, I mean, I think that for a lot of folks, and I think it's fairly standard, maybe aren't sure, exactly where the district lines are. They shift. In this case, there was a more dramatic change where large portions of Galveston County were added to the district. That was fairly new. I think that for most Texans right now, and especially Republicans, because that's who I've been talking to just over the past few days, they definitely feel that there is angst in the GOP in Texas. There's concern over what is going to happen to Mr. DeLay, who had been a very powerful rainmaker for the Houston area, bringing projects home, bringing a lot of kind of high-profile prestige to the area. What's going to happen with that? And I think that this debate And then if there is another election, if the Supreme Court does throw out the case, I think people are going to have to, you know, check to make sure they know their head from a hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Now, you point out correctly that Tom DeLay has brought home a whole lot of bacon. Do people make any distinction, for example, between the way he used the earmark process and the conference committee to jam in an extra $1 billion on the energy bill last November, most of which will be spent in Sugar Land or on offshore drilling in the Gulf?
I think what people know, especially people who support DeLay, is that he does good by his district. They don't want for things. I talked to one woman who talked about how proud she was that Mr. DeLay was able to get money in the transportation bill to widen a particularly troublesome part of the highway that runs through one half of his district. She loved that. People don't know how he does it necessarily. They don't know the details. You know, what happens in Washington, it's kind of like the sausage factory. You don't really want to know how it's made.
Or
just
Vegas.
Happy to have it.
It stays in Vegas, yeah.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, issues of earmarks also kind of goes into that more general sense that this is something that we need and Tom DeLay is going to get it for us. And you hear that over and over again, and people are not being ironic. They believe it and they feel that way. And, you know, nobody could argue that, frankly, I think, you know, regardless of your party affiliation, that DeLay doesn't bring stuff home.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Samantha, I promise to let you go, and I will. you've interviewed a lot of Republicans recently, and anecdotally, in your reporting, we pick up the sense that many staunch, longtime loyalists to DeLay will defect tomorrow. How serious of a breach do you see there?
You know, the issue, I think, is you hear a lot of people in the moments immediately before the primary and during early voting not knowing who they're going to vote for. I don't know if it's so much among the staunch DeLay supporters. You do see it among people, some people, who have voted for him in the past. How large the defection is going to be, I think, again, is really very, very difficult to handicap at this point. I would be hesitant to say exactly what's going to happen. There's too many variables right now. I will tell you that whatever the results are on Tuesday, it's going to be very interesting, and it will either back Mr. DeLay's assertions that his support in his district has not waned, regardless of what's happened in Austin or in Washington, or it will lend credence to some of the other opinions that he's going to have a difficult time pushing through these problems and retaining his seat. And I think either he will be very happy or very unhappy on Tuesday night, which I guess is for any candidate, but especially for Mr. DeLay.
And I think you point out in an article he won't be there in the district on election night tomorrow. He'll be back doing a fundraiser in Washington.
He will. And, you know, the argument that you hear from Mr. DeLay's camp, as well as from the people who are hosting the fundraiser. I talked to one of them, former Representative Bill Paxon, Republican of New York, who said, you know, it's very naive to think that a member of Congress would skip his duties up in Washington, meaning votes and being present for debate, in order just to be home during a primary. It really just depends on your own prism. Mr. DeLay's likely Democratic opponent, Nick Lampson, was very quick to send out a press release, calling it just an unbelievable show of Mr. DeLay's callousness. You know, it's really, right now, it's all just so political. You know, his staff, I'm sure, will be gathering. The Republicans are gathering in different parties, you know, watching the returns come in throughout mm-hmm. his district. You know, yeah, he'll be in Washington having a fundraiser. But I think that also shows that I think he feels pretty good. Although we just got late word that tomorrow morning Mr. DeLay is actually going to go out and visit a polling station somewhere in the Sugar Land area, try to meet a couple more folks, get some positive pictures out there on the newswire of him with the voters, and then he's going to hop on a plane and head to D.C.
We'll see who pays for the flight. Thank you, Samantha Levine from the Houston Chronicle. And we've got Fred from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Got just a minute. What's your comment today?
Good morning.
Go ahead, Fred.
I just wanted to say real quick, between Richard, that nasty man Pombo, and that stupid Sam Farr, and that turncoat Leon Panetta, and Bill Hogarth at the Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting Wednesday, they're going to vote to have a total ban of all trawl fishing on the Oregon, on the whole coast from 300 to 200 miles offshore.
We're going to be covering that story soon, Fred, so thanks for mentioning it. I'm very concerned about the salmon catch because I love salmon, and it looks like there won't be one this year. Thanks for checking in. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and in Sacramento, we're on 1240 Talk City today, sitting in for Christine Kraft. More with Robert Perry next.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A new abortion law sets the stage for a battle.
It is really sad.
Not in Alexandria, Virginia.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It could be the next challenge to Roe versus Wade. Today, South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds signed a bill to ban virtually all abortions in that state.
What South Dakota politicians are saying to women is, you have no right to make the decision about whether or not to have a child, whether you're raped, whether to protect your health.
Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood, which operates an abortion clinic in Sioux Falls and vows to challenge the law in court. Its only exception is to save the mother's life. Leslie Unruh is an anti-abortion activist.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
In the search for ways to improve health care, we'd like to add another solution. I-beams. That's right, I-beams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use I-beams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Sally Regenhardt, the mother of a New York City firefighter killed on 9/11, was among those watching on closed-circuit TV today as the penalty trial for Zacharias Moussaoui got underway.
I want to see this man. I want to look into his eyes.
A jury was seated to decide whether the admitted Al-Qaeda member and terrorist conspirator should get the death penalty or life in prison. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
He was in the thick of it, prosecutor Robert Spencer declared. He claimed if Moussaoui had told FBI agents all he knew a month before the September 11th attacks, the government would have tracked down 11 of the 19 hijackers. Hold him accountable for causing those horrible deaths, Spencer told the newly picked jury, 10 men, 7 women.
Prosecutors want jurors believing that Moussaoui was the last best chance to foil the plot.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The defense theme is that Moussaoui knew very little compared to what the government knew, and that pre-9/11 people just weren't thinking this sort of thing was possible, at least to the point that they would have been able to stop it.
Defense lawyer Edward McMahon urged jurors not to treat Moussaoui as a, quote, scapegoat for government officials who made errors. He told them, you cannot judge him to get revenge for the victims. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Colleges and universities that object to the Pentagon's policy on gays lost their case before the Supreme Court today. The High Court ruled unanimously that schools accepting federal funds cannot bar military recruiters.
We're disappointed. But this is just a skirmish in a larger civil rights battle about the rights of gay and lesbian people to serve their country.
Boston College law professor Ken Greenfield was one of the plaintiffs in the case. At George Washington University, constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley says the schools have a simple remedy.
If they really think these policies are discriminatory, they should stop taking the money.
The schools say they can't afford to do that. Their federal funding amounts to $35 billion a year. AT&T, broken up more than two decades ago because it had a monopoly, is reconsolidating to face challenges from cable and the Internet. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason on the proposed $67 billion merger with Bell South.
It's going to have some 300,000 employees, $120 billion in revenues, and they want our business. They want our phone business. They want 100,000 employees, $120 billion in revenues, and they want our business. They want our phone business. They want our television business. They want our internet business. There's a war going on, and that's what this merger is all about.
10,000 jobs will be cut in the process. Most NASCAR race teams and drivers live in the Charlotte area, so that city was always the front runner as the site for NASCAR's Hall of Fame. Today it was made official, to the delight of North Carolina Governor Mike Easley.
We welcome the Hall of Fame, and we understand and appreciate the obligation, the opportunity, and the challenge.
The Hall's expected to draw hundreds of thousands of NASCAR fans every year. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Culver's on the mound.
He's got the fastest fastball in the league.
Here's the pitch.
Whoa, look!
BlackBerry, that's now legal again. 888-579-2540. And if you want to call me from the Central Coast, you can save me a dime. Call us on our local line at 831-899-5792. Coming up next hour, we'll open up the free speed zone and take your calls on any issue from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And we're also going to get a report that'll disturb you if you have a cell phone with a long-term contract. We have a member of the California Public Utilities Commission who will be phoning in, probably on his cell phone, sometime between 5:30 and 6 to tell you all about it. But for this hour, I'm pleased to welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show investigative reporter Robert Perry. He helped break the Iran-Contra story in the 1980s, working for Newsweek and the Associated Press. He also has reported for Frontline and for more than 10 years has operated the website, which is not a blog, in my opinion, but a news site called ConsortiumNews.com. Bob Perry, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. And in the intervening weeks since we last spoke, I've spent some time with your book, Secrecy and Privilege, subtitled Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. A lot of great reporting in there, Bob Perry.
Well, thanks. It was sort of fun to do because I was trying to really go back over 30 years and collect things that I knew and hadn't really been able to put in one place. But also, by going back to the Watergate period, I actually did some reporting on things I had never really dealt with before and actually turned up some interesting new information there, too.
Yeah. And feel free to reference the book or other books as we go through the hour. I want to talk about current events primarily. Pick up a copy of Secrecy and Privilege for as little as $10 and help support your work at Consortium News at the same time. Let's start off, Bob, with the item that is at the top of your homepage at Consortium News today, which relates to the Zogby poll of U.S. troops in Iraq that was published last week. And many people looked at this statistic. 72% of them said that they believe the U.S. should pull most of our troops out of Iraq by the end of 2006. But there was a much more troubling figure in there. With a
play games with information and words that they can give subliminal kind of messages almost to the American people. If you go back and look at Bush's statements, they're not technically incorrect.
Yeah.
Often they, it would be a case more of juxtaposing Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein close to enough to each other enough that people made the association, which wasn't certainly intentional, but was never precisely spelled out by the president in his speeches.
Yes, it was not explicit, but it introduced many people to the term conflation. To conflate is when you bring together two unrelated items and suggest that there is a connection.
Right, and that's pretty much what they did. And we saw for a long time the American people, the broad public, had come to believe this. And it was a big factor in building the support in 2002 and early 2003 for the war. And then it took quite a while for this to erode. But it's interesting that among the soldiers, they still think by large numbers, according to this poll, that connection is real.
Now, let me recap for you in 30 seconds the not-so-subtle remarks that Bush, Cheney, and the gang made in the fall of 2002 and the winter of 2003, just before we launched our unilateral war in Iraq.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
bombers.
Chemical
weapons are equally chilling.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
Now, those are cherry-picked, I will freely admit. Those are edited, I will freely admit. Those are packaged with fancy music, and we give Robert Greenwald credit for it, because it came from Uncovered, the true story of what led us into Iraq, a powerful documentary. But, Bob Perry, when we listen back to those statements, we know the WMD statements were false and that the Bush administration did know or should have known that many of those statements, particularly the ones about a nuclear threat, were flatly untrue and uncorroborated, unsubstantiated. But when it came to the linkage between the threat posed by Saddam and the 9/11 attacks, they were more clever in the way they used language. And again, the way a speech would include two different statements, but put them in the same paragraph, and many people came away believing, oh, Saddam had something to do with 9/11.
Right. There was also the use of mentioning Zarqawi's operation. The time Zarqawi had his terrorist band sort of in the northeast section of Iraq, and it was true that it was inside Iraq. What was always left out of that description was the fact that that area was under the protection of the United States and Great Britain in the no-fly zone. So it wasn't a case that Saddam Hussein was harboring Zarqawi. It was a case that Zarqawi was really being protected by other elements, including some of the Iranian elements, and could not be reached by the Iraqis if they wanted to. So there was always this idea, if you just sort of throw these things together and stir them up and use the kind of fearful language that you just referenced, the American people would respond to it as they were meant to respond to it. They're supposed to be scared. And the whole idea of using fear in this very sophisticated way is a big part of what I go into in Secrecy and Privilege, because it really it's a phenomenon that we have been seeing, of course, probably through time, but the neoconservative movement, as it begins to take shape in the mid 1970s, sort of learned this. They learned that if they exaggerated threats, foreign threats, and push that argument strongly enough on the American people, that the American people would drop their whole sense of common sense and reason and be essentially panicked by these fearful images. So
and in the pre-PowerPoint era, there was a high-tech dog and pony show put together originally for the amusement of President Reagan that was presented annually to amp up the threat posed by what was then our archenemy, the Soviet Union.
Right, and we now know that going back to 1976, when George Bush Sr. was CIA director, the neoconservatives were just taking shape at that time, including people like Paul Wolfowitz, were let into the CIA, so-called Team B, and they were allowed to basically push their own exaggerated threat of the Soviet Union. In the mid-1970s, the CIA was concluding that the Soviet Union was in rapid decline, that their economy, their economic model was terrible, that they weren't meeting the technological challenges, they weren't meeting the demands of consumers in the territory they controlled. And so the CIA was actually getting it right. But at that point, the neoconservatives wanted to exaggerate the power of the Soviet Union. So they went in and they basically they pretended that the Soviet Union had all this military might that really didn't exist at that point. They were way ahead on certain technological areas, which was just fantasy, and their economy was doing well, which it wasn't. So you had this idea really planted at that point that if you hype the threat, and then we'd see it again with places like Nicaragua, which was being presented as somehow a threat to the United States, if you kept exaggerating the dangers, the American people would let you do what you wanted, which was to expand the military budget and have a more aggressive foreign policy. That was learned in the 70s and 80s and came back in spades in the early part of this century with Iraq.
We'll continue in just a moment with investigative reporter Robert Parry, spelled P-A-R-R-Y. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com. And as we continue, your calls and comments are welcome. On the Central Coast, reach me at 831-899-5792. Toll free from elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. That's right, Sacramento. We're live and you can call in. 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m.
W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m.
Catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become...
Taxes, fees, and restrictions up to $123 may apply. For details, visit airnewzealand.com now. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Stephen. We'll check back with you about 445. And Casey has your traffic every weekday morning on KRXA. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show coming out of your speakers. Do not attempt to adjust your dial. We're rated number one with Benny, our minder at the National Security Agency. And if you listen long enough, you'll love it too. Benny has to listen to everything, the poor guy. We continue with Robert Perry, investigative reporter, the proprietor of the website consortiumnews.com, and among others. He's the author of Secrecy and Privilege, The Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. Bob Perry, one of the things that came to mind as I was reading your post here, America Anisthenized, that's at consortiumnews.com right now, is the way the media is a facilitator, an enabler in the Bush administration's propaganda efforts. And just last week, we saw in sharp relief the video conference of pre-Katrina, where President Bush, in that windowless room at the ranch in Crawford, was told that they were very worried that it could top the levees. And then just 3 days later on Good Morning America or one of those shows, he said nobody thought that the levees would breach or be topped. And the reporter from ABC who put those two clips together could not bring himself to say that the president had lied or misled the American people. He referred to it as an arguable contradiction. Why are we so sensitive, so politically correct, and why do we avoid using that four-letter word that starts with L, lies, when we're confronted by them?
Well, that's a good question. I think a lot of it goes back to this earlier period. If you go back to the mid-1970s, when the press was going through somewhat of a golden age, relatively anyway, of being more skeptical, being tougher, digging out hard stories from Watergate, Pentagon Papers, the CIA scandals, and so forth.
Bob Woodward was unembedded at that time.
Right, exactly. There was some serious work going on. And the conservatives and the Republicans very smartly addressed that problem. They built up groups that would go after reporters. There was a phrase they liked to use in the 1980s when I was like doing the Iran-Contra work. They'd look you in the eye. These were some of these propaganda specialists inside the Reagan administration. They'd say, "We will controversialize you." And their idea was that if a reporter was getting stories that they didn't want, they'd start spreading rumors about you, or they'd go to your editors and they'd go to your bureau chief and they'd keep going up the chain of command until they found somebody who would undercut you and begin to put pressure on the people below him to put pressure on you. So they developed some pretty sophisticated techniques. And the way reporters responded, sort of naturally, I suppose, since basically people are trying to earn a living at this, the reporters began to protect themselves by not being too hard on Republicans or conservatives relative, say, to liberals and Democrats. It was sort of when Bill Clinton was there, it was almost a free fire zone because nobody was interested in protecting him. But you could call Bill Clinton a liar,
mm-hmm.
And he certainly, in the case of Lewinsky, I would say did lie, although
yep.
he might say he was being very, technical. Even with Al Gore, in some cases when Al Gore didn't lie, we'd say he lied. But when it came to dealing with the Republicans and conservatives, reporters knew that if they used the same sort of frank language, they'd be gone after by these very effective groups that were set up, Accuracy in Media, some of Brent Bazell's operations.
Yeah.
There was Fox News by this point. There's
Reed Irvine.
There was Reed Irvine at Accuracy mm-hmm. in Media. There was, of course, you'd be attacked by the Washington Times. You'd have a slew of attacks coming at you.
And were you
so reporters
controversialized?
Tried to avoid it.
Did somebody try to controversialize you?
Well, sure. It was sort of a common practice with reporters who were digging up stories in the 80s that Republicans didn't like dug up, because they had seen what happened in Watergate. They'd seen what happened around the CIA scandals. They knew the damage that very accurate, tough reporting had done to some of their agendas. So when it came to dealing with this in the 80s, they approached it much more aggressively, and they went after journalists, and they damaged people's careers. In some cases, they ended their careers. So it was reporters learned that if you wanted to play it safe, you weren't too tough. You try to use language like apparent contradictions didn't square with the facts. You'd use various euphemisms to avoid mm-hmm. the word lie. But in the case of Bush, I mean, what we've tried to do some at Consortium News is to point out some of the cases where it's incontrovertible that he lied. One thing I've cited often is this claim that he began to make in July of 2003, when it became clear that the WMD did not exist in Iraq. He began to say, Bush did, that Saddam Hussein had refused to let the UN inspectors in to look for the WMD.
Hmm.
And it was just blatantly untrue. But Bush would begin to say it because it seemed to make him seem more reasonable. And the press looked the other way. I mean, almost nobody has pointed out the fact that over and over and over again, when Bush says that Saddam refused to cooperate with the UN on weapons of mass destruction, that that's simply not true. He did let the inspectors in November of 2002, and it was Bush who forced them to leave in March of 2003. So you have these cases, and that's just one of them. There are a number now.
Yeah.
Where Bush has clearly not spoken the truth, but the press is very hesitant to call him on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is not a press issue, but kind of by extension, we're seeing the payback to Congressman Peter King. I've never been a member of his fan club, but he has opposed the administration on the Dubai ports deal. And the payback is, all of a sudden, the planned trip he was going to make to Iraq on a fact-finding mission, Pentagon can't find a plane for him.
Well, I think what the Bush administration has learned, and they learned it somewhat from the experience of the Reagan-Bush era before them, is to just play hardball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no advantage in Washington, at least from their point of view, of trying to play it nice. Just play hard. And the Democrats have shown that they're willing to often cave in. And the Washington Press Corps has shown that it will back off if you're hard enough.
Yeah. We got to take a break. Bob Perry will continue in just a moment. Our lines are open if you'd like to talk with Robert Perry. Toll free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll continue.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
It is useless to resist us.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 4:33. And we're live on KRXA 540 Monterey, live on KGOE 1480 Eureka, and live on 1240 Talk City Sacramento. Filling in for Christine Kraft today. And if you tuned in and said, "Who's that guy?" That's not Christine. Not to worry. Christine's not feeling well today. We hope she's back at you tomorrow. In the meantime, instead of giving you a pre-recorded show, General Manager Paula Nelson said, "Well, hey, let's plug in Peter B. off the satellite." And I'm grateful she did. Glad to have you listening. And if you have a comment and you'd like to join our conversation, you are welcome to do so, especially if you're from Sacramento area. Call us toll-free at 888-5579 and then 2540. And with the fancy cell phone, you have to press send, too. You know that part. Give us a call and join the conversation with investigative reporter Robert Perry. You can read his work on the web at consortiumnews.com. And he's got a powerful book called Secrecy and Privilege, which traces the history of the Bush dynasty. Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq is the subtitle. And I read on consortiumnews.com that you can get a copy of this book that usually retails for $22.95 for as little as $10 if you'll donate $10 to keep consortiumnews.com. Accidental. We know that Jimmy Carter spent every waking moment between the time he lost the election and the time Reagan was inaugurated trying to free those hostages, but it didn't happen until Inauguration Day, and many of us suspect it was because of an October surprise deal.
Well, I must say, I was in Washington at the time, and I remember, of course, the inauguration of Reagan on January 20th, 1981, quite well. And I didn't suspect anything, I must say. But later on in the 80s, when I was doing the Iran-Contras work, and we discovered this information about these weapon sales to Iran that were done in secret in 85 and 86, initially, we even thought then that that was sort of an anomaly, that it sort of popped up in that time frame as part of an effort to get hostages freed in Lebanon, if you remember.
Yeah.
But as we got deeper into this, we discovered that those arms sales did not begin in 85. We developed information, including documents from inside the U.S. government and on-the-record statements from top officials in the Reagan administration, that the shipments really began in 81. They began almost immediately after Reagan took office.
Mm-hmm.
And they were being done initially in that time frame through the Israelis, who were shipping U.S. military hardware using Argentinian planes flying out of Cyprus to Iran. And we discovered some of this, although we didn't really take note of it at the time. It was noted inside the government. When one of the Israeli planes was shot down when it strayed into the Soviet Union, and it was covered up, basically, at least the role of the U.S. weapons and how that was happening, with U.S. approval. So there was this early stage, kind of a prequel to the Iran-Contra affair, and the investigation really began to look at, well, when did this all start? And there had been a few scattered allegations that coming from some people who'd worked with the Reagan campaign, some people from top levels of the Iranian government, including the former president, Bonnie Sadr, who was in exile by then, that there had been a deal cut between the Khomeini regime, which was holding the American. When did this all start? And there had been a few scattered allegations that coming from some people who'd worked with the Reagan campaign, some people from top levels of the Iranian government, including the former president, Bonnie Sadr, who was in exile by then, that there had been a deal cut between the Khomeini regime, which was holding the American hostages in Iran back in 1980, and the Republicans, and the deal was cut behind Jimmy Carter's back, now we could say with more and more evidence, and even including much documentation that we've been able to access, and we bring together for in secrecy and privilege for kind of the first time, that the evidence is now overwhelming that the Republicans did make arrangements with the Iranians without Carter knowing about it, and they basically set Carter up to be humiliated. And as you remember, it was a big issue in Carter's clumsy failed campaign for reelection and ninth arrangements that were being made that allowed that to happen.
And there was
and the American people were basically duped.
There was at least one meeting in Paris, and it was believed that William Casey, who became Reagan's first CIA director, and that George H.W. Bush made that trip. Have you been able to confirm those details?
Including, there was at one point when the House of Representatives was doing some research on this, there was a task force that asked the Russians if they had any intelligence on this issue. And the Russians sent, it's probably the first time it ever happened, and it was kept secret, but the Russians sent a cable to the United States, to the Congress, saying that Soviet intelligence did have evidence that Casey back find the reporter who was named John McClain, and he confirmed that indeed he had been told this at the time. So We had, beyond the allegations from, there was an Israeli intelligence officer who described these meetings. There was a pilot who was used for some of these flights who described flying Casey and seeing George Bush in Paris. So there was strong evidence supporting this allegation, and there also there was other strong evidence that Casey, who was then the campaign manager for Ronald Reagan, later became CIA director, but that he had made other trips to Europe to meet with the Iranians and help arrange this. Hmm. So there's actually a great deal of evidence, including some documentary evidence about money being transferred, weapons being arranged. There were wiretaps that the FBI had placed on one of the suspects, not intending to find this out, but the FBI had learned a good deal about this, not knowing what they were actually listening to. They were looking for something else and had stumbled upon this when they tapped one of the conspirators. So there's a wide range of evidence to support these allegations, and I try to bring it together in Secrecy and Privilege.
And you do, and people should read all about it. Again, the book is Secrecy and Privilege, Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y. We're joined by Marianne in Arcata. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air, Marianne.
Well, hello, Peter B. Good to speak to you again. And you've already spoken about the pork matter, but I just wanted to mention that yesterday on Meet the Press with Tim Russert, Senator John Edwards was on. Senator Edwards, of course, he's not a senator anymore, I guess.
Right.
But John Edwards asked the questions that I've been asking ever since this first started. Why aren't U.S. companies managing these ports anymore? And I've called several of the senators on that toll-free congressional switchboard number.
Right.
And their offices, of course, they're not the same as the senators themselves, but they just don't know. And I ask, who managed these ports?
It is, in terms of the finances, who has the money to make these ports
yeah,
profitable?
Yeah, that's what I figured. And nothing to do with security. But
So
why would this Dubai company take it over unless they're going to make money? And who gets the $6.8? Does that go to the peninsula in Orenti?
No, it goes to the British company that's selling these rights.
They're selling, and so they're just bypassing the U.S. then.
Well, but it was already sold, you see. That's the part of the story the media hasn't done a good job of ferreting out, which is, you know, when did these ports get transferred to the control of P&O, and how did that consolidation occur? I frankly don't know the answer, but I'd love to see an investigative reporter dig into it. Marianne, I got to take a break. Thanks for your call today. We'll get more calls in the next segment as we continue with Robert Parry. Visit the website consortiumnews.com to find out more about the topics we're discussing today, and jump on the phone and talk with us. The number toll-free is 888-579-2540, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's
393-1300. We're going.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Say 540 checks your traffic on this Monday afternoon. We've got Stephen Taylor, Metro Traffic.
The roads may be moist in spots, but apparently everyone's dealing with it fairly well. Tow trucks now on the way to remove a couple of crashed vehicles from southbound Metz Road near Bryant Canyon Road. Soledad, otherwise, smooth going on highways 1, 68, 101, 17, all your favorites. But you know how quickly that can change once we get into the post 5 o'clock thick of the commute. This report sponsored by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver multivitamins have essential nutrients, which emerging science suggests, along with a healthy diet, may help support heart health. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Stephen. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show between 6 and 9 a.m. Sometimes he improvises in an unusual way. Check it out, 6 to 9 right here on KRXA 540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 Monterey, KGOE 1480 Eureka, and 1240 Talk City in Sacramento.
Don't believe me if I tell you, not a word if it's true.
Come on, brighten up out there.
Don't believe me if I tell you, especially if I tell you.
We continue with Robert Perry. He operates ConsortiumNews.com, and the book we've been talking about this hour is one of his recently published tomes. It's called Secrecy and Privilege, Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. And we're joined now by Bonnie in Sacramento. Hello, Bonnie. Mm-hmm. Welcome to our program. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for taking this call. It means an awful lot to me. I want to Robert Perry to know how wonderful he really is, and I want the public to know how wonderful he is, and along with some of the other brave and heroic reporters that have risked their lives for the public, and including Gary Webb, who the late Gary Webb, and I want you to know that I have about four of your books. My husband used to just bring me coffee in bed in the mornings and hand me all kinds of stuff off of your website, and I still have a lot of it. I haven't read because he died 4 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And I don't get out there on the web myself, so I really miss you. And I wanted to tell you that I have lost history, and I hope that I don't do too much talking, but I have so much to say. I want to tell the public about the lost history and the last pages of that book, the last chapter. Everyone should have that book in order to find out about President Bush and his ties to Reverend Moon And that book and another magazine here lately, I've gotten American Prospect magazine.
Right.
Came out with a story about Reverend Moon and having a coronation ceremony in his honor in the Dirksen Building. And John Warner, our senator, was the one that got the Dirksen Building office so that he could have this coronation. I guess he was being coronated, I guess that's the word, as a Messiah. I don't have any idea, but
he does claim to be
the Messiah
and the true father of all of his followers. Robert Perry, in accepting her encomiums, tell us briefly here what we should know about the relationship between Reverend Moon, the Washington Times, and the rise of George W. Bush.
Well, I want to thank Bonnie for those kind words. I think a part of what I try to do in Secrecy and Privilege is to bring a lot of this together, because in the effort to build a right-wing media, which has become very important in terms of what happened to our politics over the last 30 years, a key figure was Reverend Moon. And he comes into the picture in the 70s with a lot of mysterious money, and it was later disclosed by a congressional investigation, the so-called Koreagate investigation, that Moon was really fronting for the Korean intelligence services.
Right. His lead guy was Colonel Bo Hee Pak, who was
right.
a former intelligence officer with the KCIA.
Correct. And they also were tied in with the Yakuza mobs in Japan and Southeast Asia. So they were essentially fronting for organized crime as well, and they were bringing in money with a very organized plan to influence American politics and media and academia. And one of the things they did starting in the early 80s, once they sort of got past the Koreagate investigation, and Moon, of course, was prosecuted for tax fraud in connection with what was discovered there. But what they really found was this money laundering. And after Reagan and Bush got into power, essentially Moon was protected. And he was allowed, he starts the Washington Times, and we find him tapping into money laundering operations in Latin America and Southeast Asia in particular to fund these operations. So he's he became a way to bring money in to help support and build this right-wing infrastructure. And he became an important figure in Washington media because of the Washington Times. He worked closely with Reagan. Reagan considered his newspaper, his favorite newspaper, the Washington Times. And later, when Vice President Bush ran for office, it was the Washington Times that did a lot of the work to tear down Dukakis, spreading rumors about his mental health. And that becomes sort of a common thread that we see going through the Washington Times, putting into play these attack, almost psychological operation style stories against people that they disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a way that really, essentially, the media on the right took out people that were in its way. And so it helped Bush get into power in 88. Bush then again joined in praising the Washington Times. And after he lost the presidency and left office in 1993, the former President Bush then goes down and begins essentially working for Reverend Moon. He becomes a speaker, being paid by Moon. He goes and helps front for him in South America. And so there's been this close relationship between Moon's operation and the money that has been brought in from overseas into the United States and the Bush family.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie, thanks for bringing that forward. Great to hear from you in Sacramento today. And Bob Perry, just about 2 minutes remaining. I wanted to turn to a couple of the items posted at consortiumnews.com right now related to our treatment of the detainees, the torture policies of this administration. And I want to focus on the release Friday of kind of the names and information about the detainees at Guantanamo. And I say kind of because they relented to the court order, but they didn't publish a list. They kind of threw reams of documents at reporters and said, well, you figure it out.
Right. I think there's been an overall effort to make it as difficult as possible for the American people to make sense of any of this. Obviously, if there are people that are trying to harm Americans in the way we saw on September 11th, the government has a reasonable basis to try to stop that and punish those people. But what we've ended up doing is getting into a process of holding people indefinitely. Possibly the charges are very flimsy. Now there's been an effort to even prevent these detainees from having any basic day in court. There was a case of a torture case that was brought before a federal district court in Washington just last week, and the judge was outraged at the treatment that was being alleged toward this detainee who was on a hunger strike and was force fed through a tube and was strapped in for a couple of hours, I guess, while they were doing this.
Yeah.
And the position of the Justice Department was that these detainees have no rights to appeal under a law that was passed in December of 2005. Which means basically they are just kind of in limbo.
I mean, we no longer force feed ducks for foie gras or geese, whatever it is here in California. We're that sensitive. Yet we claim that when we force feed these people who want to be on a hunger strike, that we're not violating their human rights and that it's not some sort of cruel and unusual punishment.
Well, actually, the government's no longer even arguing that. It's simply saying they have no recourse.
Yeah.
So we can go on essentially torturing these people, according to the federal judge. And the position of the White House now is that there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah. Bob, we got to stop. We're out of time. But I want to thank you for joining us again today. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Robert Perry, visit the website consortiumnews.com. The book we've been talking about, Secrecy and Privilege, Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. I'm Peter B. Collins. Stay tuned for the Free Speech Zone next. You can call me any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Toll free, 888-579-2050. Your calls are welcome in the next hour, right here.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. For the jurors in the sentencing trial of Al-Qaeda soldier Zacharias Moussaoui, the decision is bad or worse for Moussaoui.
The thing to remember here is Moussaoui already has pleaded guilty to conspiracy. This isn't a case where he still has the presumption of innocence. All this trial is about is what sentence he receives, life in prison without the possibility of early release or death.
CBS News legal analyst there, Andrew Cohen. Carrie Lamack lost her mother on September 11th.
I want to be there to represent Mom, because for us, this isn't just about a national tragedy. 9/11 is very personal. It's my mother's murder. And if this man had information that could have prevented her murder, obviously I want to be there at the trial to represent her and make sure that she counts, not just as a victim, but as a human being.
New York Congressman Peter King is offering a way out of the Dubai Ports World ports management deal. Let them subcontract, he says, an American company for the U.S. ports their company would manage.
My strong suggestion is that the American portion of the contract be totally separated out and be given to a totally independent American company.
King, a Republican, has submitted his suggestion to the White House. They say they'll look at it. Colleges must allow military recruiters onto their campus, whether they like the don't ask, don't tell policy on gays or not. Why? Because those universities depend on federal dollars and federal research grants.
It means that there will be tremendous pressure on universities to allow the recruiters on campus at the risk of forfeiting large amounts of federal funds. Or it may mean that the universities will be steadfast in their position and they'll have to raise those funds elsewhere.
That's former Navy lawyer Judge Ron Meister, says the Supreme Court decision was expected. The governor of South Dakota has signed a bill that outlaws most abortions. Reporter Jennifer Miller.
The bill is scheduled to go into effect July 1st, but abortion rights advocates say they will ask for an injunction. The legal battle could ultimately reach the Supreme Court and challenge Roe versus Wade.
It could be years before the Supreme Court hears the case, if it does at all. In the meantime, abortion rights advocates fear other states could pass similar bans on abortion.
Lawmakers in Mississippi and Missouri are already considering legislation to limit the procedure. But in a battle that's been brewing for 33 years, both sides are ready to fight. Jennifer Miller, CBS News, Pierre, South Dakota.
In some of England's most avant-garde bars and nightclubs, there are vending machines for sex toys. Mini vibrators, which can be hidden in out-of-the-way places, for example. Bar owners say the machines are a big, big success. People buy from the so-called taboo-boo machines, giggling in front of everyone when they'd be too embarrassed to go near an adult novelty store for the same gizmos. On Wall Street, the Dow dropped 63 points to close at more than 10,958. The Nasdaq lost 16.5. Oil prices, $62.41 a barrel, down $1.26. This is CBS News.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free. I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Get the good stuff.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip, drive the number 55 Napa race car. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm quite a hat collector. That's why Napa is helping me collect as many hats as I can, starting with yours. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store and swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. The same hat me and my race team wear at the track. Bring in your old hat today and drive home looking like a winner. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer now on Katrina levees and the critics.
The White House rejects renewed criticism of its Hurricane Katrina response, saying recently shown videos of presidential conference calls were taken out of context. After briefing the president, Corps of Engineers General Carl Strock had this assessment.
If we were to have another Katrina-like event, I think I can say with a high level of confidence you wouldn't see the catastrophic flooding that we saw in the first event.
But Strock says a Katrina-force storm surge would still flow over some levees, flooding low areas. President Bush will get a closer view when he visits the disaster scene later this week. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Flood-ruined homes in New Orleans' Ninth Ward are finally being demolished. People who had fought to stop it lost in court. City officials argued the comeback of New Orleans cannot happen unless homes are rebuilt so that people can come home again. And most of the homes on the lower side of New Orleans are beyond repair. Dogs stand by to sniff out any still hidden bodies. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Now, how can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
In the search for ways to improve healthcare, we'd like to add another solution. I-beams. That's right, I-beams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use I-beams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B.
To me. Anytime I feel
We are officially opening the doors to the Free Speech Zone here on the PBC show. And if you're one of our new listeners in Sacramento today, you're saying, who is this guy and what the heck's going on? Well, your pal and mine, Christine Kraft, is not feeling well today. And rather than give you a repeat of hers or some other program, the folks at Talk City 1240 said, let's plug in Peter B. And I'm grateful that they did. And this is your chance to talk to our listeners. Sacramento, you can reach out to our listeners in Monterey and Eureka. The Peter B. Collins Show airs every weekday at this time on KRXA 540 in Monterey, KGOE 1480 in Eureka, and just today on 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. And we open up the lines to hear from you. You can talk about any of the subjects that we've discussed. We talked about the media with J-Mo Foser. We talked about Tom DeLay's re-election prospects. The primary in Texas is tomorrow. And he has drawn some challengers, but because there are three of them, it's doubtful that anyone will have enough votes to knock him off in the primary, but we can hope, can't we? And we also talked to journalist Bob Perry, Robert Perry, last hour, and some very interesting tidbits surfaced there. And I want to thank a loyal caller, or a loyal Bob Perry fan, Bonnie from Sacramento, who called in to talk about the connection of Reverend Moon and the Bush family. So this hour, you can call with a comment on any subject, any point of view. That means, yes, neocons are welcome to this forum, just like progressives. And if you're undefined, you don't have a label, bring it on. Call us, and we'll talk. My toll-free line is 1-888-579-2540. I'm going to say it a couple of times for our new listeners, because I know it's hard to grab when the host just reels it off real fast. 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And my Central Coast listeners know they can save me a nickel, or maybe even a dime, depending on how long you're on hold, calling 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. And one more thing, if you prefer to send me email, I'm logged on and ready to read, peter@krxa540.com. That's peter@krxa540.com. And as I wait for your calls to come in, I want to share with you the Republican Hall of Shame. You may know that Randy Duke Cunningham was sentenced on Friday to 8 years, 4 months in federal prison, and it looks like they're going to send him to Bakersfield instead of the coastal playground at Lompoc. But we know that Duke Cunningham pled guilty to being bribed, and now his bribers are pleading guilty or getting ready for trial as well. And what this means is that we're going to learn more about the pattern of corruption among some very powerful Republicans, many from the Golden State of California. Can you say John Doolittle? Can you say Jerry Lewis? Can you say Duncan Hunter? Well, I will. But first, it's interesting to note that there is a potential CIA connection between Duke Cunningham and one of the people who bribed him, a defense contractor from the San Diego area named Brent Wilkes. Wilkes was a very close buddy of a CIA official named Kyle Dusty Fogo, F-O-G-G-O, first time I've read that name. And he is an executive director at in fact, he's the number three official at the Central Intelligence Agency. And according to the American Prospect, these guys are so tight, they named their sons after each other. They share a private wine locker at a Washington restaurant. And Wilkes has an office waiting for Fogo whenever he leaves the CIA. So watch that name, Fogo. No, it's not from Lord of the Rings. Fogo. I think that one's going to be back. How about Catherine Harris? You remember her from the 2000 elections in Florida, where she was Secretary of State and worked very hard to tilt the election in the favor of Bush Cheney? Well, Mitchell Wade, the man who has pled guilty to bribing Duke Cunningham, apparently funneled $32,000 in illegal donations to Congresswoman Catherine Harris. She initially told her local newspaper that she didn't have any idea why employees from Wade's company, MZM, donated a pile of money to her. She said all those connected people who didn't live in Florida and whose $2,000 checks arrived in bundles, Well, they just liked my stance on the issues and wanted to see me reelected, said Catherine Harris. But Wade's plea agreement revealed that he took Harris to dinner at a Washington, D.C. restaurant, and they did a little checking. The prefix menu starts at $85, and members of Congress are supposed to report any gift, including a meal, over $50. Apparently she forgot. How about John Doolittle? Congressman from California, whose district starts just north of Sacramento and snakes all the way to the Oregon border. His wife, by the way, did some work for Jack Abramoff. Well, Doolittle has acknowledged that he helped steer defense funding totaling $37 million to a company run by Brent Wilkes, who we mentioned just a moment ago. The company's called Perfect Wave, and they helped the officials of the company and the lobbyists helped raise at least $85,000 for Doolittle and his political action committee over the last 3 years. Let's watch that connection go further. Duncan Hunter, he is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, perhaps Duke Cunningham's closest friend in Congress, and he helped companies that have employed this man Wilkes secure over $190 million for a system to convert printed documents to computer files that the Department of Defense said it didn't need. Duncan Hunter helped jam through almost $200 million worth of spending that the Pentagon did not ask for. Watch for his name to be linked to Brent Wilkes in the coming weeks. And then Jerry Lewis, not the movie actor, not the telethon host. Jerry Lewis, the Republican congressman, San Bernardino area. Wilkes also employed a lobbyist named Bill Lowry. And about $200,000 was paid to Lowry between 1998 and 2000. And it gave him access to Jerry Lewis. And meanwhile, Lowry, the partners at his firm, and their clients have donated I'm going to have to look that one up because I don't want to misstate an allegation of corruption. But it does show a connection between Congressman Jerry Lewis and this lobbyist, Lowry. So we're going to watch that one very carefully. So these are things you should be keeping in mind as the corruption scandals unfold. We basically have the San Diego-based Mitchell Wade and Duke Cunningham, and then we're waiting for the shoes to drop from Jack Abramoff in Washington, D.C. So this corruption season is going to be a fascinating one. And if you have a comment about that, I welcome your call to the program right now. We're going to take a little break and come back. It's an all-caller hour in the free speech zone, and I'd like to hear from you, particularly if you're a first-time listener in Sacramento. Give us a call and share your views with us. 1-888-579-2540, toll-free. That's 888-579-2540. On the Central Coast, you can call me at 831-899-5792. And coming up later this hour, a report from PUC Commissioner, that's Public Utilities Commission, Commissioner Jeff Brown, who is livid at a package that was passed at the PUC last week. Anti-consumer, pro-cell phone company. We'll get the details for you coming up right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
You know, it's all the weather's fault.
Tell us how things are moving.
Well, things are moving pretty well, except for a couple places. Maybe a Rio Del Mar Beach Drive at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. Fallen power cables, poles and lines are down behind some houses. They're not affecting the roads, except for the fact that there's the impending arrival of PG&E trucks and other emergency vehicles. Monterey, Aguajito Road and Valenzuela Road. There is a tree down at least over half of the road, and wires also down the roadway. Power also reportedly out up the hill along Aguajito. Outside of that, though, no big deal. This report sponsored by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength relief on contact, the most complete Preparation H relief ever. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's 5:20. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're live on three radio stations today. KRXA 540 Monterey, KGOE 1480 Eureka, and for one day only, at least so far, it's 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. Plugged into the Peter B. Collins Show, Christine Kraft is not feeling well today. We hope she's back with you tomorrow, Sacramento. But in the meantime, this is a live telephone talk show, and I'm expecting your call right now. There's a line open for you on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. And toll free from Sacramento, Eureka, or if you're listening online anywhere out there, call me right now, 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. And one more time for Sacramento's slowpokes, 888-579-2540 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Lead editorial in today's New York Times is a powerful one and worth noting. And as background, there is, of course, this struggle between the Bush administration and the New York Times because they defied the request of the Bush administration and went public with the NSA spying information, or at least part of it, back there in December, right at the time when the Senate was bickering over extending the Patriot Act. And their editorial today is headlined, Kabuki Congress. Imagine being stopped for speeding and having the local legislature raise the limit so you won't have to pay the fine. It sounds absurd, but that's just what is happening to the 28-year-old law that prohibits the president from spying on Americans without getting a warrant from a judge. And I think that's the perfect way to describe it. They are going to paper over what is a serious and obvious violation of the law, an intentional violation by this president and his cronies. And they are going to try to pass legislation to make it legal, maybe retroactively, and hope that the whole thing will just go away. And you've got Arlen Specter, who stood up and said he's got serious questions about it, but he's quietly written some legislation that would provide the legal cover that the Bush administration now needs. First they said, we've got all the authority we need. We don't need anything more. And correctly, the New York Times refers to it as a shell game. And we are the spectators and the victims all at the same time. Let's go to the phones now. Cheryl in Arcata, thanks for calling. You're on the PBC show. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
Not too bad.
Great. I was just going to call about one of my favorite people that are in the doghouse, and that's Richard Pombo.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good program up here on one of our free speech channels, and he was on there.
Like, oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. It was just a special devoted to him and all of his dirty tricks. And So I was just wondering when you might get Jerry McNerney on again, just to kind of get people out there aware that we have this great progressive Democratic candidate.
As of tomorrow, we have 90 days to the June primary. And almost every day between now and then, you're going to hear some candidate, either for statewide office or for some of these critical congressional seats, on our show. And in addition to Jerry McNerney, I believe that Pete McCloskey's entrance into the Republican primary against Pombo offers a very promising chance to knock this guy off.
Oh, yeah. I think the more the merrier to, you know, basically expose his ties to Jack Abramoff, the fact that he wants to come up here and take the last, 1% of the old-growth redwoods and give it to Pacific Lumber Company and Charles Hurwitz to grind up and turn into some pulp, you know?
So. Richard Pombo is the extractor's dream.
Yeah, and it's just one of these things that it affects everybody when it comes to the, you know, what he's doing with environment, polluting the water, and wanting to go up into the Alaska National Refuge.
And let's add offshore drilling, the Endangered Species Act, selling out public lands, forcing taxpayers to pay for his family's RV vacation to the Western Parks last summer. I mean, this guy doesn't know what arrogance means because he lives it every day.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your call, Cheryl. Good to hear from you. Bill in Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City. Welcome to the program.
Hey, you're sounding really good. You're very, very interesting program. Good facts.
Well, thank you for checking us out.
A couple of things I thought I would clear up. One thing I would like to clear up, and the other one I'd like to comment on, tied back to what the gentleman that had the book was saying.
Robert Perry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It turns out that if you dig back a little bit into the history of this group, the Bush group, I call them the Bush cartel.
Yeah.
That act that the CFIUS was using to authorize the ports takeover,
mm-hmm.
that act was actually delegated by a presidential order. The president, executive order 12661, and what it did, it delegated this to CFIUS the president's responsibilities under Section 721 of that law,
mm-hmm.
and it designated them to receive notices of foreign acquisitions, et cetera, to determine whether a particular acquisition has national security issues. And take that a little further, now you remember in 1988, the president, Reagan, was pretty much out of it. So you know who did this? The vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's H.W. Bush.
Correct.
So,
he was at the forefront at that time of tilting our foreign policy in favor of Iraq, and Bush Sr. Uh-huh. in particular was responsible for the diversion of more than $3 billion in agricultural credits, uh-huh. which were converted in a way that Iraq could cash them in and
right.
use that money to buy arms.
And as you mentioned earlier, the deal with the Iranians, as far as releasing the prisoners,
mm-hmm.
I would bet if you looked further, you'll find that Carlyle Group was behind some of that arrangement of transferring those arms. And so the whole thing becomes part of a clear path of taking away our assets and robbing the Treasury out of its money and reducing the control of the American people over our foreign policy.
I would also direct people to read House of Saud, House of Bush by Craig Unger, mm-hmm. which has a lot of the history that you're referring to, Bill.
Right. And it turns out the only reason we even found out about this whole thing was because there's a part of the law that said this law was called the Exxon Florio law, and it went back to the Defense Production Act, and Senator Byrd had put in an amendment back in 93 that made it real clear that it should have been bumped up to a 45-day review. But the law allowed them to keep certain things secret, proprietary information, unless someone brought suit. And that's what happened in Florida. They brought suit, and so that made it public, and then the press was able to report on it.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, you're very well informed. I appreciate your call today. I'm out of time for this segment, and I'm going to move along, but thanks for joining us. And by the way, what he referred to, CFIUS, is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, headed by Secretary John Snow at the Department of Treasury, who did some business with Dubai Ports World when he was the head of CSX. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, sitting in Sacramento today for Christine Kraft. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. Toll free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. It's 5:33, and so far it's rhyming. We're in the free speech zone, and your calls are welcome. We don't check your political affiliation or ask you what you want to talk about. If you're reasonably pleasant and coherent, you'll get patched right through to the program. Call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. If you just tuned in Sacramento and you want to know who the hell this guy is, my name's Peter B. Collins, and Christine Kraft is off today. She's not feeling well, so they plugged me in to talk with you live, and I'm glad to be here, and I hope you're just as glad. So feel free to join our conversation. Again, the toll-free number is 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. And sometime in the next few minutes, we'll be joined by Jeff Brown, who is a commissioner on the California Public Utilities Commission. And, well, we'll let him tell you about it, but a setback for consumers with cell phones. I'll leave it at that. Chris in Salinas is next. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Peter?
Not too bad, thanks.
Hey, I was going to talk about Richard Pombo also, but the nice lady from Arcata, she said it right. But there was one other issue about that is that Jerry McNerney is another candidate where the DLC bag man, Rahm Emanuel, passed him over for another bag man, Steve Filson. So, you know, this is just in the same line as Christine Sigelis, I believe, in Illinois.
Illinois, the Hyde seat, yeah.
And Pinocchio.
Paul Hackett in Ohio.
Paul Hackett and Pinocchio in Pennsylvania. You had him on, and he's fantastic. I sent him money.
Yeah, he sure is, and thank you.
So I just want people to look into Jerry McNerney, I think he's a real viable candidate. And that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. And
so
Chris, I just want to give you some credit because I appreciate listeners who check into the facts and let me know about them. And I had speculated last week that Barbara Boxer had voted against the extension of the Patriot Act, and I was wrong. And I still don't understand why she voted in favor of it. Next time we have the opportunity, we'll ask her. In just a second here, California Public Utilities Commissioner Jeff Brown will join us. And to set up our conversation, I dug way, way back into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music and commercial archives. And this is a little ditty from way, way back when America had one phone company. And pretty soon we'll be right there again.
We don't know.
Hi, my name is Jeannie, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
For the phone company.
We don't know.
I'm Nancy, and I don't know what I'm doing.
We don't know what we're doing.
When you work for the only phone company in town, you don't have to know what you're doing, and there's really nothing anybody can do about it. You can try to complain, but you probably won't get through.
Yeah, right.
The phone company.
We don't know what we're doing.
As true today as it was in the 50s when that little jingle was created, Jeff Brown served as the public defender in San Francisco for, what, over 20 years yet?
22 years.
22 years, and he survived that only to have Gray Davis appoint him to the Public Utilities Commission. And Jeff, I like you, but I'm still trying to figure out why you took that job.
Well, the governor at that time said, Jeff, I need somebody to go over there for a couple of years, and then I'll send your name in for a nomination to the court. And I said, geez, oh, I'll be glad to take that. And I and I got over there, and at that time we were doing productive and creative things, and I liked it so much that I stayed.
And I guess you'll have to wait for part two for the governator to vacate.
I don't think I'm going to be going on any court in the future. I think the twilight of my political career is pretty close.
And maybe you sealed that on Friday with what was described as a fiery speech before your fellow commissioners. You were on the losing side of a vote around a package called the Market Rules to Empower Telecom Users and to Prevent Fraud. Now, what's good in that bill for people who own cell phones?
Not very much. Actually, the consumer fraud provisions probably should be applied to that particular piece, that order that passed out of the PUC, because telling people that they were empowered as a result of that order is, as I said at the time, deceitful.
All right. Give us a couple of quick bullet points, and let me just tell you that I am a disaffected customer of Singular Wireless, and I'm stuck in a contract that doesn't expire until next October, and I hate it!
Well, you know something? Thanks to your PUC here in California, there's not a heck of a lot you can do. You know, you might be able to just take on the customer service representative as Singular if you can get through the telephone tree, and maybe out of the mercy of their heart, they'll give you some relief. But if you're looking for it from your protective agency at the PUC, forget about it, Peter. Not for a while, anyway.
Now, Michael.
Bullet points.
Yes. Yeah. What will this do?
Well, what this order doesn't do is really what is at stake. What happened was a few years ago we passed a consumer protection law that required disclosure of key terms and conditions, required contracts that people could read, prohibited false offers and advertising, things of that nature. And of course, I guess in 2005 they immediately suspended those rules when Commissioners Lynch and Wood left the commission. The commission changed. The liberals on the commission left, and the liberals had to look to me for assistance. And they suspended those rules, those disclosure rules, and then they came up with their own order. And their own order really it operated as a cover. In other words, what we had was we had two alternatives. We had this order that passed out, and we had one by Commissioner Grinnick, which required some measure of disclosure. For example, it said a contract should be provided to a customer at the point of sale. A contract should have a summary of the key terms and conditions. A contract should be in the language of the solicitation. There should be a 30-day return period.
Now, let me stop you there. Language of the solicitation. So if I'm a Spanish speaker and I hear a commercial from Singular on a Spanish radio station and I go and buy a Singular cell phone with a 2-year contract, I can't get that contract in Spanish?
No. Not unless you asked and demand it. Yes, that's right. In other words, they don't have to give you the contract in the language that they use, that they solicited. So if you go down to their store and you say, "Geez, you speak in Spanish," to them, and they represent they're going to do X, Y, and Z, then they give you a contract in a different language. That's the breaks.
Wow.
This is what Commissioner Grinnick's order did. The order that passed out did none of these things. It abolished that type of a requirement that had been previously in effect under the old rules.
Now, wait a minute, Commissioner Brown. Are you telling me that the Market Rules to Empower Telecom Users and Prevent Fraud is an Orwellian phrase that covers for a rollback of consumer protections?
Absolutely. Because, what they did is say, well, we're going to have more education and we're going to have more enforcement. And they're saying we need education so that people can understand what they're doing. Well, hey, why not have a contract in writing that says the same thing as a solicitation? Why not have a summary of key terms and conditions?
And, Jeff Brown, what can we do about this now?
Well, I think the the most effective thing that you can do is write your legislator and say, I demand full disclosure of any contract or any solicitation either in the cell phone business or in the wireline business. I mean, this is basic consumer protection. I would say just simply say to your legislator, please extend consumer protection to telephone sales.
So then we need to, the PUC took action to eviscerate consumer protections, and so we need to override that action legislatively, is that?
Absolutely, because that's the only way it can be done. At the present time, I don't think I think their handwriting's on the wall. I think the PUC has spoken its mind. I think legislative enactments, the legislative directives, are the only thing that can change this. You write to your assemblyman, write to your state senator and say what the PUC did on March 2nd is not effective in terms of protecting the public purchasing oil.
Jeff, that's my private line ringing.
Okay.
I think that's Chairman Peavy. He said your medication has arrived.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Peter.
Keep fighting for us.
Thank you.
PUC Commissioner Jeffrey Brown trying to fight for consumers in California. Ron in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to mention out here there's a federal trial of this guy named Hamid Hyatt and his father. I've been reading in the papers about it. It seems to be...
Yes, from Stockton.
It seems to be some entrapment involved. The informer, some Muslim guy.
The FBI was able to put an informer into that religious group, Islamic group in Stockton.
Yep.
And what we're, reading from the trial reports right now, Ron, are that the defendant may be guilty of bragging or puffery, but it doesn't seem so far that the feds have proved their case, and I'm speculating.
It seems kind of fishy. It seems like so much of Bush's war on flapjacks. Recently, 2 weeks ago or so, there was a story about British troops in Iraq that were caught with explosives in their car, turbans, beards, in other words, disguises. They were faking it as Arabs. I think some of these explosions and bombings of mosques are set up. It's black ops, special ops. The kidnappings, some of them are obviously apparently bogus. The figures are way too large. Who benefits from one of the kidnappings came at the time that the Abu Ghraib scandal was in play and took that off the front page, the beheadings. So much of this, and going the OBL tapes, are obvious hooey. You go back to USS Cole. The explosion was from the inside out, the Cole bar, TW-800, Oklahoma City. All of it, almost all of it, is designer terror. It's it's kind of a terror theater. The 911 is so obviously, that case has been taken apart. Building 7 went down, the Pentagon,
indeed,
no
indeed.
Plane hit. The whole
hey, Ron, you've got a whole litany there,
yeah.
and your skeptical gland is working overtime. And
it's baloney.
It's important that people do have a skeptical gland and let it work. And I would just point out that the recent bombings of the Golden Mosque in Samarra, in the Western press and media, there's been a whisper campaign claiming that it was al-Zarqawi who did it. His group has not claimed responsibility, and to date, I do not know who did take responsibility for that bombing. But it is apparently another effort by the American government to try to divert us into believing the story that civil war is not about to break out in Iraq, and that it's these pesky foreign fighters from al-Qaeda who are our biggest threat. And I don't think you buy that, Ron, I don't either. Thanks for your call today. It's 5:46 now. We're going to take a quick break and return to the Free Speech Zone. You can join me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Again, 888-579-2540. On the Central Coast, there's a line open for you at 831-899-5792. 5:46 now. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues. Don't give up
the
fight.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays, in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time, and if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time on the ride home. It's 548, and here's Metro Stephen Taylor.
Yes, in Aptos Highway 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard, a minor problem. Vehicle on fire off to the side of the road, or at least it's smoking a bit, which would cause someone to think there are flames involved at the end of the off-ramp. And problems continue. Aguajito Road and Valenzuela Road, Monterey, with a tree and power lines down on the roadway and some power outages reported in the area. This report sponsored by Sylvan Learning Center. Sylvan Learning Center, learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE today. Stephen Taylor with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Stephen. Coming up right after 6 o'clock, it's the Reverend Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks. Barry's the guy who was attacked as a crazy paranoid by Bill O'Reilly last week. That's a good enough reason for me to invite you to listen at 6:06 tonight. Culture Shocks on KRXA 540. Lord have mercy.
Can't get ahead, no way I try. Everything is out of pocket. Somebody do something. The present situation is abstract.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for joining us today. And if you're listening on 1240 Talk City in Sacramento, you're listening for Christine Kraft, and she has the day off. Hopefully be returning tomorrow. And there's still room for your call, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. Got a stack of calls, and before we pick up another call, just wanted to mention that I really appreciate when listeners send me emails with information, and this is a story that had not, well, I wasn't aware of it. What she's reporting here, and this is Paula, is that last Friday, Senator Bill Frist, the Senate leader, sent a letter to the Democratic leader, Harry Reid, saying that he's going to gut the Intelligence Committee. They're going to vote tomorrow to decide whether or not to begin investigation into the administration wiretapping. Get this. Frist says in the letter that Democratic partisanship is keeping them from doing their work, and he may filibuster or change the rules to prevent the hearings from being held. So please pay attention to this. You can get more information at tompaine.com, Tom, P-A-I-N-E. And I thank Paula for bringing that to our attention. Charles in Stockton, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I just wanted to say the both Richard Pombo and the neocons on the Public Utility Commission, they're both trying to privatize what should be public property. I mean,
the commons.
The commons.
These are the commons that belong to all of us.
Pombo wants to sell off the national parks and the national forests to monopolies, and the PUC, which is supposed to be protecting our public airwaves, also wants to sell out to private monopolies. And this
let's just be clear. In terms of the airwaves, it's limited to wireless telephones that are regulated by the PUC. Their primary responsibility is utilities, your gas, electric, and other utilities. And, of course, that whole arena has gone through so many changes that disadvantage consumers over the last 15 years. It's dizzying.
Yeah, well, the Orwellian language is deregulation, which really means that big corporations can live without the law.
Market forces mean that little people get screwed.
Right.
That's just a very fair, honest statement.
And it took us the 1930s to realize that we can't have free markets unless there is regulation. So we're going back to a time before that. And it's not a good time for a common person.
Charles, thank you for that thought. I appreciate your call today. Now to Jake in Arcata. Welcome to the PBC show, Jake.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not too bad.
Hey, today I'd just like to send out a special hello to all the listeners in Sacramento. Hopefully you can get Peter B. on regularly because it's a great show. By the way, going back to Bush, you know how I like to talk about Bush, Peter. This guy, he's in Pakistan, right? And now let me get this straight. He refers to Pakistan as an Arab democracy. Wrong on both counts. You know, I mean, this guy is the president. Okay, first of all, Pakistan is not an Arab country, and number two, is sure as hell is not a democracy. And this is the same guy. He goes to India, gives away the store to India. You know, they're violating the nuclear weapons treaties, and we just go ahead and say, oh, we're going to give you some nuclear power plants, right? At the same time, we're threatening a war with Iran. At the same time, we have this situation in Pakistan which could explode. You know, Bush, when it comes to foreign policy, there's only one word you can describe George W. Bush with. He is a fool.
Well, the moves you're describing are breathtaking, Jake, that, yes, he went into India, and he set a precedent that every country that wishes to be a member of the nuclear club will demand in the future. And by tilting in favor of India, it throws Pakistan into an even more awkward position. You are correct that Pakistan is not a democracy. Musharraf is a strong-arm, military-based dictator. And he did have an election where nobody ran against him, just to give him the rubber stamp. But your assessment is correct. And they both India and Pakistan, which are arch enemies, have nuclear weapons. And by tilting in favor of India in this case, we not only set a bad precedent for Iran and North Korea, but at some point we're going to have to deal with the aspirations of Pakistan as well. And it was a dumb move on Bush's part. We're going to see that, I think, in sharper relief as people analyze it further. But this will not make Americans safer. And the most it will do is put some profits on the books of the nuclear companies in the United States. Bush would call them nuclear, like General Electric, who have been dying to create more reactors and sell them, but there's no market in the United States, so they have to look elsewhere. I also believe that it's a stalking horse to renew nuclear power plants and build new ones in the United States, and they'll market that to us as a way of reducing global warming, which they do not acknowledge is an issue. Isn't that beautiful? Huh?
Yeah, I love how they want their cake and they want to eat it too. Just remember, whenever you watch NBC News and they tell you how great nuclear power is and how wonderful Bush is, just remember who owns NBC, General Electric.
Well, a few years back, I sat at a dinner next to the president of NBC News, and he stopped talking to me after a while. Over his second glass of wine, I said, hey, I was watching a report on MSNBC about the nuclear power industry, and they didn't bother to mention that GE makes nuclear power plant equipment. And he said, oh, I'm sure that was an oversight. I'll look into it.
Yeah, no conflict of interest, right? Yeah.
Thank you, Jake. Rick at the Sacramento Airport. Good evening, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thank you.
Where are you flying to tonight?
Well, actually, I'm picking up my son.
Oh, cool.
He's coming from a place called Arkansas.
All right, I'm glad he got out.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. you know, as I listen to you, you know, maybe this isn't the most exciting or intriguing little story, but this is what I believe about the administration and their effect on the little guy. There's a kid I know. He works in a hardware store, I walked in. I see him a lot. He's a nice guy. He's well-spoken. He's smart. He knows a lot about tools. I walk in there. The first thing he's doing is putting together a floodlight, you know, for people to use it at night on jobs. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, he's got the headset on in case somebody calls him up and asks him if he's got a 3/8 inch drill. And the third thing, he's running the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know him, but we like each other. So I said, hey, his name's Craig. I said, hey, Craig, it's none of my business. I know you're married. He tells me, I'm married. I got a wife. I live with my in-laws. How much do you make? He says, I make $7.40 an hour.
Mm.
And this is what I believe. I can't prove this, really, but this is what I believe. I believe that this administration fosters the idea that if you're not connected and you're not in, they're not only going to disrespect you financially, they're going to squeeze you. They're going to use you up. And that's just my thought.
Well, you are correct. Real wages have declined for the average American at a time when the rich got incredible tax cuts, and we all have been subjected to, unofficial tax increases, such as the increase in tuition at state and community colleges, and the increased cost of health insurance and health care, which is increasingly shouldered by the consumer, and just 5 years ago was entirely paid by the employer.
Right.
And so
right.
These are the hidden tax increases that the Bush administration has foisted, and they are regressive in nature. The people with the lowest incomes get hurt the most.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for your call, Rick. We got to run, and okay. I want to thank everybody in Sacramento for calling us up and for listening. Christine Kraft should return tomorrow, and sometime in the near future, you'll be able to hear the Peter B. Collins Show on 1240 Talk City in the nighttime. So thanks for joining us today, and Eureka and Monterey, join us again tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. right here for more of this.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
There's a drive to deep center. Grissom on the run at the wall. Home run.
Minnesota Twins baseball great Kirby Puckett has died in an Arizona hospital after a devastating stroke just yesterday. Twins president Dave St. Peter.
Kirby Puckett really was the signature of this franchise, not only really being the leading figure and helping the team win two world championships, but really reestablishing this franchise in prominence in the late 80s and early 90s.
I'm Peter King. Kirby Puckett was a 12-year major leaguer whose enthusiasm matched his Hall of Fame talent. Former teammate Frank Viola.
He did everything first class, and that's the way he always approached everything in life.
Including leaving the game when glaucoma made him blind in one eye.
Internally, he must have been killing him, having to give up the game he loved so much.
The Twins say they tried to get him back to spring training as an instructor this year, but he said no. Viola says Puckett could have taught young players a lot about baseball and life. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Kirby Puckett was 44. For those who lost family on September 11th, the sentencing of Al-Qaeda soldier Zacharias Moussaoui is of looming importance.
This is the only opportunity that the families of the victims have gotten to have even, you know, 1 ounce of justice in this whole bitter journey. No one has been held accountable or responsible.
Sally Regenhardt lost her son in New York's Twin Towers. John Cartier, who lost his brother in those towers, says he knows what justice would look like.
I'd like all 2,000
793 families to get this guy in a room. And that would be justice. Just give him to us.
The jury has to decide whether Misawi gets life without parole or death. New York Congressman Peter King says he's figured out a way around the port's management deal.
This has to be a totally independent American company with no ties to Dubai Ports at all.
King is suggesting Dubai Ports subcontract an American company, he says, or else.
As far into the future as I can see, the mood in Congress is going to be to just kill the agreement altogether.
The White House says it'll consider the idea. Colleges take government money. They have to let the military recruiters in to do their jobs, and that's the Supreme Court talking today.
I simply don't understand how this could not be perceived as having